that sefer that the workers found in this room right here. Beis Chodesh. The sefer that he wrote, the rabbi that we just showed on the screen, the past 4 minutes, this Torah that he wrote in the Holocaust, in my hands. Obviously not the original copy, but the copy that I got in my Shana Aleph in Israel. You know, we just talked about packing with purpose. After my children, after my tefillin, and after my passports, this is probably next in line. For someone who had an ability to leave the Holocaust, go to Eretz Yisrael to be saved, and it wasn't even a question for him. I'm going to leave my students. I'm going to leave the people that I grew up with. I'm going to leave my family members. Besides his own personal pain, his own son, who I was at his keder with, he's the only one in his family, one of the only ones who has a keder. He doesn't have a keder. He doesn't have a place where he's buried. He wouldn't leave. This year, a little personal, my wife's grandmother, who was a survivor, passed away. And I remember getting the call. It was an early morning, it was a Tuesday morning, maybe Wednesday morning. She had a heart attack. And my mother-in-law quickly got on a flight from Florida to get to New York. It was the middle of COVID, it was the middle of October. Anyone who flew during that time knows that getting off a flight, you had armed guards there. You basically felt like it was a little bit like a havdol of what it felt like you're trying to get over the border in the 1930s and 40s in Europe. And I never called her just to wish her. I just said, she'd be okay. And the guard was stopping her because she had a sign where she was going to quarantine. But she was going to the hospital. And the guard saw that she was just crying her eyes out. And the guard saw that she said, my mother, I have to go to my mother. Or someone who survived the war with her sister, hidden in a non-Jewish attic, grew up as a student of Sarah Shear, the head of the Beis Yaakov. Given every night, hidden by non-Jews, paid from her parents, my wife's great-grandparents, to hide their children. They would give her some food every night. And anytime it was a chicken or meat, she wouldn't touch it. Salad, vegetables, whatever. Can you imagine? And unfortunately, there was another sister. Another sister. There were 3 girls in the family. Another sister they never found. And I always asked her. In the land of her life, she had dementia. And it was hard for her to remember our names. But I always made it a point. I said, Grandma Regina, how did you survive? How did you do it? How did you go on to come to America and build a life with Papa, with another, my wife's grandfather, who lost his entire family, besides one brother? And she just said one word. She said, the Eibishter. But in Yiddish, it means God, it means Hashem. Every single day, we're losing the privilege of having a survivor in our lives. People's grandparents in this room, I'm not talking specifically about myself, there's grandparents, there's great-grandparents. I think every other tragedy we've talked about today is specific to some people that we don't know. But to say every year,
I run this names on numbers program in Florida. Every year it's getting harder and harder to find survivors. We find, Baruch Hashem, we find survivors, but every year it's harder and harder. I just want to read you one poem and then we'll say the kiddah together. This poem was put up in the shul in Surfside just a week and a half ago. It's called I Have Been Found. Burned alive under the rubble with members of my community, unaware that this was always going to be my destiny. Stuck under the concrete, layers upon my head. They don't know where to find me, their hearts filled with dread. As my family searches for me, they don't realize I've already been found by the source, the creator, the one who I am bound. You may think I'm stuck under the rubble, alone and in fright, but I am soaring with the angels who have directed me toward the light. As the structure collapsed, my emunah still remains. For I know it is the Almighty who holds the reins. You may think that I am shattered, but broken I am not. Because up in heaven, I have earned my beautiful lot. I am in the garden of life, and we are dancing in unity with my brothers and sisters who died so brutally. Hand in hand, we grip tight to each other forever. Because the bond that we have will never sever. What you need to hold on to is hope after all. Because when all is gone, that is the torch that we will never fall. We collapse together unaware the end was near. But in the heavens above, the picture is vivid and clear. You don't understand, because I was an outsider once like you, who is only part of a chapter, and it doesn't see the higher view. Believing isn't always seeing. It's blind faith as a whole. Sometimes it seems crippling and can tend to take a toll. Keep holding strong, although you may not comprehend, because when you hold on to Emunah, miracles ascend. You may be buried under, deep below the ground, but dear friend, do not worry, because we sure have been found. It's the only way to comprehend any tragedy in the past 2.5 years, past year and a half, you know, Surfside, COVID. But this is the Holocaust. There's no answers. Rabbi Sacks, someone once asked him, how do you explain the Holocaust? Down here, we have a lot of questions and no answers. But upstairs, in Shemayim, there's only one answer. There's no questions. The message and lesson for us is that, as you say, this key. Let's make sure to hold on to our faith. Hold on to our mama. Just like my wife's grandmother. Didn't wait for 1 second. Not after losing her older sister. Not for 1 second, she said, when I asked her, how did you survive? She said one word every single time I asked her. The Abish. Page 34. That's okay. Rabbi Schwab was the head of the Washington Heights Kahal. If you look at it right on there, it says, Korban Yerubin, it says, the Adas Yeshurim.